You're listening to The Starting Lineup with James Cebulski.
Wardens in prisons everywhere rejoicing.
Perry Solkowski.
Soap on a rope.
And Rick Dhaliwal.
You got to have kale, broccoli, and spinach every night. Bottom line.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Over the top. That goes Allen. Touchdown. Did he break the plane? He did. Touchdown, Buffalo.
We welcome Stephen Brunt this morning to talk about Ben Johnson. Stephen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Excellent. Well, 30 years later, and now we find out that performance-enhancing drugs, steroids, such a part of sports for a long time. Does Ben deserve, he's still cast in such a light. Is it deserving, or is he just the first to get caught, and that will always be the way it is?
Well, look, there's a lot of water under the bridge in 30 years. I think people, I think it's worth keeping in mind, because I always have to do it, that there are a whole lot of people who weren't alive or aware 30 years ago or weren't in Canada 30 years ago. So when you talk about what that meant and what it felt like, they can't understand it. They can't understand how high the high was when he won that race, when he beat Carl Lewis 9.79. It's the great universal sporting event in the world. And again, not to disparage 1972 or golden goals or any of that stuff, but it's not hockey. It's bigger, and if it had held up, I think it's the greatest moment in the history of Canadian sport, period. No asterisk.
Agreed.
So when the crash happens, it was incredibly devastating, and I think we were incredibly naive. Now maybe we shouldn't have been. Look, the thing I always point to. So, Ben, in September of 1988, wins the 100 meters, test positive, and we go through this national rending of garments, right? It's all about how could we possibly let this happen? This is terrible. It's immoral. It's cheating. How could we have been a part of it? And we turn the guy into a pariah. A month later, Oakland Athletics are playing in the World Series. Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco, they lost. They lost that World Series in 1988 to the Dodgers, but it was all around us. It was everywhere. And Charlie Francis, who was Ben Johnson's coach, got up in front of the Dubin Inquiry and told people that, and no one wanted to believe it. And look where we are now. Post Lance Armstrong. I was just tallying up stuff this past week. I'm writing something about it for .ca, Sportsnet.ca. That'll be up in a couple of hours. But we had Ben in for an interview over the weekend, and in the past week, we've had Russia being reinstated by WADA, even though they were running the biggest state-sponsored doping program since he's the former East Germany. We had Canelo Alvarez beating Gennady Golovkin, coming off a steroid suspension. We had John Jones returning to MMA after his second PED suspension. Thomas Pannone, the kid pitching for the Blue Jays, was suspended for 80 games at the beginning of the year for PEDs. Had a nice start this week. Everybody's excited about Thomas Pannone. Just kind of part of the landscape, isn't it? And yet this turned into, a kind of a national trauma and turned one guy. Now, again, there's lots of stuff that happened to Ben after that, too, but turned one guy into the one who's died for everybody else's sins.
And how about Lance Armstrong, right?
Well, that's it, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Lance Armstrong could still show his face. You can feel what you want about Lance Armstrong, but yeah, that charade went on for a long time. So, does that mean we're all more cynical or all more realistic? I guess both.
Well, and Stephen Brunt with us here on Sportsnet 650, and this is how, kind of looking back, I'll say this: I was in total denial. I'm 13 at the time, and there is a classic, an infamous column, if you will, written by Earl McCray, who was a very well-known columnist, and I'll never forget, it was the comments in there, Stephen, Ben, you make me sick, you make me want to puke, you bastard, and I remember he came in for a career day to speak to our school. There were students, screaming at him because, this was before he gets to the podium at the Dubin Inquiry, but I look back at this now, and it was almost like you couldn't say this then, but, yes, it happened, yes, he was stripped of the medal, but in that moment, those 10 seconds of that 9.79, I don't know if I've ever felt better watching a sporting moment. That was probably the most exciting thing I have ever seen in my lifetime. In that moment, it was taken away eventually. But Stephen, that That moment was amazing. Amazing. He beat the rival. Like, you talk about, that was a heavyweight title fight that lived up to that billing in that moment.
Well, no, it's not just that. Like, okay, you know, again, as we also know now that the other seven guys in the race were dirty.
Yeah.
So there's that. Number two, you know, I was watching a Diamond League, which is the highest level of track, you know, that's between World Championships and Olympics, the circuit, the European circuit. I was watching a Diamond League meet a couple of weeks ago, and the 100 meters was run 1:09.79, which was a great time for this season, an unbelievable time. Ben Johnson ran 9.79 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we know Usain Bolt kind of reset what human potential is, and not to cast aspersions on Usain Bolt, but who knows, right? But, you know, track is dirty. Track continues to be dirty. But that 9.79, he didn't just win the race. You know, he obliterated the world record.
Yeah.
And you don't obliterate the world record in the 100. You know, the world record in the 100 meters sat at 9.9 for decades. So it's off the charts. And, you know, and then we, you know, and you're right, then it was gone. And then, you know, Ben was the bad guy and people like Earl, you know, and look, I understand the emotion. Although, I'll tell you one thing. In the day, and, you know, what you're talking about, how you felt, most Canadians, you know, there's that notion that we cast him aside immediately and he suddenly became the disgraced Jamaican sprinter, not the Canadian hero. In fact, Canadians stuck by him right up to Dublin. Until he appeared at Dublin. There were people standing, I covered that, and there were people standing outside that hearing room at Dublin with signs saying, you know, we love you, Ben, we support you. People didn't want to believe it, and they didn't cast him aside. And, you know, the whole thing about the disgraced Jamaican sprinter, you find me an instance where that was actually written. You know, it was said cynically by people, to, you know, of course now that's what he is. But no one actually, people didn't feel that way. And that Dublin, you know, Dublin inquiry was an exercise in, you know, kind of collective guilt in a lot of ways. It wasn't just about him. It was, you know, we all felt terrible about us. I understand the kind of the righteous anger in the moment, but, you know, with the, I guess, the blessing of hindsight here and all that, you know, everything that's happened since, really? You know, he was the bad guy?
Well, yeah.
A lot of bad guys then.
Sure, and Carl Lewis, the bad guy, is coaching track at the University of Houston. Marion Jones, the bad girl, is doing speaking engagements. What's Ben Johnson doing? You caught up with him. What's he doing? Because it just never seemed like he resurfaced to teach what the skill he had to run that low 30 years ago.
Yeah, no, he's not doing. He's, you know, he's doing some kind of, you know, coaching, but not, you know, not that kind of coaching with kids, working with kids, doing a little bit of stuff. I think he's done some consulting with soccer players and things. So, yeah, he does some very low key work with people. But, you know, no, not a heck of a lot. You know, we can remember some of the more cringe-inducing stuff he did in the interim. Some of the TV
cheetah all the time, yeah. Right? The commercial,
yeah, racing the horse. Remember that?
Like, yeah.
It was horrible. I defy anybody to stand up now in 2018 and say, well, he deserved it. I'm sorry, that's not true.
He was the fall guy, and, you know, to try to put it into, you know, he was the original gangster of the fall guy, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of sport, in terms of doping in sports, and
taking advice from a coach.
Yeah, do we still want to subscribe to there was the great documentary, the ESPN 30 for 30, a few years ago, the 9.79, where there was, you know, and Ben still suggests about the mysterious
tampering.
Man, the tampering, the spiking the drink, Andre Jackson, I think it was. Do we still want to subscribe? I it's funny because I watched that and I still want to hold out hope for a smoking gun that maybe he was set up all this time.
Well, he might have been set up in Seoul. Who knows, right? Maybe was he set up in Seoul? I don't know. Was he part of a, you know, very sophisticated doping program in the years and months leading up to Seoul? Of course he wasn't. He admits it. So it's kind of a moot point, right? Mm-hmm. Like the fact that he got caught and how he got caught, you know, maybe because, you know, somebody set him up. But that's not because he wasn't doing it. You know, it's just like the salient point is that he, you know, he won a world championship. He competed, you know, ran, what, 9.85 in Rome and didn't get caught. So these guys knew what they were doing. How could they screw up at the Olympics? But I'm not sure that changes the story, right? He was one of eight in an eight-man race who were doping. And he was being... You know, you're right, he'd listen to coaches, but, you know, Ben knew what he was doing. Like, Ben's been painted as a simpleton. He's not. But, you know, he was working with a guy in Charlie Francis, the late Charlie Francis, who was as sophisticated in the science of sports doping, you know, as anybody ever. And if you go back and look at what Charlie said at Dublin, it's all come true. You know, it's all come true. People didn't want to hear it, you know, because what he said essentially is everybody's doing it. They're going to keep doing it. This is way more sophisticated than you understand, and you cannot put this genie back into any kind of a bottle, no matter what you do. And again, I would say that everything that's happened in the interim proves him right.
Stephen, appreciate you dropping by. I couldn't agree with more in terms of putting it into perspective here this morning. Thanks for dropping by, and keep up the awesome out there, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Stephen.
Stephen Brunt. Sportsnet 650.